Bibles and turn with us, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you rise to your feet with me, please, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? And as you find in your place in the Scripture, just one word, and that is a word of thank you in behalf of all of us to Brother Jeff and to the people of this good church to provide such an opportunity as we have here tonight. Jeff, I honor you, sir, for your effort, your work, your insight, your vision. Thank you, thank you. God has blessed. And I know you appreciate that. If you do, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to listen now to the Word of God. Chapter 2 of the book of 2 Timothy. Ere we read, be reminded that these are the words of the Apostle Paul to his young Timothy, his son in the faith, one that he had led to the Lord. He called him to be a pastor. And these are the last recorded words that we have from the pen of that great apostle Paul. Remember that. There's something special about last words. The last words to us from Paul through young Timothy. Very, very appropriate. Listen to the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here ends the reading of God's holy, impeccable, divinely inspired, inerrant, holy word. Amen. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your great word, for your great grace, for the privilege we have to gather around the word of God now. Thank you, Father, for this encouraging, strengthening testimony we've just heard. And thank you, Father, for the privilege of worship now. And Lord, I pray that you will apply this word as only you can to every one of us. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You be seated, please. I would like for you to know at the outset, unless you miss it, those of you who are here tonight as men of God, called to the ministry, called to preach, set aside by God, whatever your role may be in the fulfillment of that calling, you are my primary concern. I preach to myself as a part of that group, and to you. And I trust that what will go beyond that to all the rest, that you will apply to your heart and life and your relationship with the men of God that he brings into your life. I want to speak to you about the Christian ministry. The Christian ministry. A broad subject, but I want it to be a blessing and a practical help to you tonight. The Christian ministry, ladies and gentlemen, is a sacred ministry. The Lord told Simon Peter, having asked him three times over, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than all of these? Yea, Lord, he said, thou knowest that I love thee. What was Jesus' answer? Feed my sheep. Three times over, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Lest you forget it, remember that is your primary responsibility. Pastor has himself saddled with multiple responsibilities. Some that are good, some that he deserves, some that are not good, some that he may not deserve. But the primary responsibility of the man of God, never, never forget it, sir, is to feed the lambs, feed the sheep. Be a man of God who preaches the word of God. Peter learned that well. He heard those words from the lips of Jesus on the shores of Galilee. Years later, he would write in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God, which is given unto you. That is our primary responsibility. Your church members may not know that. They may not agree with that. But I say without hesitation, the first and primary responsibility of every man of God is to preach the word, to feed the flock. And that remains the delight and the privilege of every child of God. The supreme task of each one of us is to feed my sheep. So many sheep around the world today are starving to death while their preachers are running around doing everything but preaching the word of God. We need a generation of men to turn that around. A generation of men who will rise unashamed and unapologetic and unhesitatingly preach, thus saith the Lord. That's the only way that we can feed the flock of God. There's a solemn warning in verse 14 that we not get caught up in trivialities of endless debate, but preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. In 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and in so doing you will be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that phrase, good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you from the word of God here how you and I can qualify to be good ministers of the word of God and of the Lord. If you're interested, gentlemen, I hope you are. Follow me very carefully. First of all, there is in verse 15. I grew up with this verse. I've been around a while. When I was a little lad of a boy, we had this thing called on Sunday night, BYPU, Baptist Young People's Union. A little while later, we Baptists got sophisticated, wanted to change the name, and we called it Church Training. No, whatever we called it, Training Union. Training Union. Then we got a little more sophisticated, and we called it Baptist Church Training. It became CT, Church Training. It became CD this and CD that, Discipleship Training. I don't care about the name, but at the heart and root of it originally was this great verse of Scripture. As a young lad of a boy, it was driven into my mind. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's my text tonight, and we build around it. So look at it with me. That verse of Scripture reminds us, in order to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a God-given way that we must pursue. A God-given way. He says, in a word, study. 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 An imperative from God. An imperative to every man of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That first word is the God-given way that we must pursue. God called me to preach when I was in high school. I've been preaching since I was 17 years of age. When he called me to preach, I didn't like school, and the last thing I liked to do was study. My favorite period at school was lunch period and play period. That was my favorite period. I didn't like any of the rest of them. I wasn't a good student. I certainly didn't like to study. I was on the dean's list, all right, but it was his prayer list. I never did like to study. And then God's got a sense of humor. You know that, don't you? He called me into a profession that requires daily study. Study, study, study. And we must hear this, the word of God. Gentlemen, that's the God-given way that you and I must pursue. Study indicates a persistent zeal. It talks about a way of life, a way of living, a lifestyle, a lonely way often, but it is the only way. I don't care how educated you are, how intelligent you are, how much background you got, how many degrees you may have or nothing. You are under constant command by God. We are, as men of God, to study, to study, to study. Study the Word of God. Pour over the Scripture. We must give ourselves to that. While in college at Old Howard College, we had a student there that I really liked. He was a red-headed peckerwood. I loved him. We were good friends. About 10:30 at night, we were all living on the campus then. About 10:30 at night, most of us been studying some at least that night. But about 10:30, we'd get tired of it. We'd want to go get a milkshake somewhere. So we'd gather it up, and we'd get a carload. We'd go down to Homewood, get us a milkshake. We'd go over to Judson's room, and he'd be studying. And we'd invite Judson to go with us. And he asked, where are we going? What we're going to do? And we told him, and he smiled at us and gently and kindly said, well, thank you. I better stay here and study some more. He never went with us when we're going out to drink a milkshake. Now, if we went down to the rescue mission to preach, he'd get out of his chair and go with us. Judson graduated with honors. Judson graduated cum laude. When I graduated, they said, come on, Lardy. Judson Vaughn went on to graduate with honors, graduating cum laude, went off to Southern Seminary, graduated cum laude, became a professor of New Testament at Old Florida Baptist Theological Seminary. You know him, don't you? A dear friend of mine. I thank God for the command that's given to us. He didn't call me to get a PhD, but he called me to study. That's a daily routine, a daily responsibility. It is a God-given responsibility, a God-given way. Now, that's to express itself in three different ways, two ways. First of all, this way is a disciplined way, a way of disciplined living, illustrated in three ways. Look with me, first of all, at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You and I, as men of God, are called to be soldiers of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. A soldier must have a disciplined life. In that generation particularly, if a soldier wanted to get to his dagger, needed to get to his dagger suddenly with some kind of impromptu sudden attack, if he wanted to get to his dagger, he could not have a bunch of things dangling around, hanging around on his being and his body. He needed to get quickly to that dagger in order to be a good soldier. In that generation, any generation, he had to be a disciplined individual. A soldier who could not find his dagger quickly could be in jeopardy easily. It requires the disciplined life of endurance, of endurance. But notice secondly, there's another picture in verse 5, the picture of the athlete. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The disciplined life of an athlete requires obedience. You may be an elite athlete. You may be a gifted athlete. You may have all of the ability wrapped up into one body. But if you do not obey the rules, you can lose it all. Classic example, 1912, World Olympics. You'll remember the individual if you don't remember the 1912 Olympics. Jim Thorpe won in the 1912 Olympics, both the decathlon and pentathlon. That requires an elite athlete. 15 events chosen out of high hurdles and broad jump and long jump and the races and the low hurdles and the discus and the javelin and the shot put. He placed first in all 15 of the events, winning the decathlon and the pentathlon. When they came home, that Olympic team was honored with a ticker tape parade downtown New York City. Jim Thorpe had all of these medals attached to his clothing for that event shortly after the ticker tape parade. Because he had missed some of the rules, and disobeyed some of the rules, every one of the medals was stripped away from him. You've got to be obedient to the rules. You've got to run the race according to the rules. The life of a good minister requires a way of disciplined obedience of an athlete. There's a startling verse from Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that reads, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul lived with that holy fear that he did not want to become ever a castaway. The word castaway could be accurately translated disqualified. Jim Thorpe was disqualified, an elite athlete, a phenomenal task that he had performed. Yet it was all stripped away from him because he was not obedient. You and I as men of God must be obedient men of God, obedient to the Word. It requires the disciplined endurance of a soldier, the disciplined obedience of an athlete. And notice the disciplined dependence of the farmer. Look at verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth, the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Farmers have a head start, I believe, on an understanding of the Word of God. Those of you who have that as a background know what I'm talking about. You can plow, you can sow, you can irrigate, you can fertilize, but you can't grow a plant. God does that. And you're dependent upon Him. One man sows, another reaps, but God brings the harvest. You must have the disciplined dependence of a farmer. You are alone, totally dependent upon God. Without Him, we can do nothing. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. Jesus said, John 15:15, without me, you can do nothing. And I don't care how eloquent you are, how educated you are, how charismatic you may be, how many talents you may or may not have. Apart from God, you are absolutely nothing. All of us, we're futile individuals apart from the breath of a holy God. Thank God for that. The disciplined way of living, but also a dedicated way of living. Study to show thyself approved. Approved unto God. Approved unto God. It's a picture here, a word picture of the testing of the metals that have passed through the fire and the heat intensified, impurities rising from the metals to the top, scraped off, the heat intensified, further impurities rise to be swept off until you have the pure metal, the pure metal. We must show ourselves approved unto God, approved unto God. We feel like we want the approval of man. And we seek to get the approval of man. And many a preacher has messed his life up entirely by pursuing the approval of man. I don't know who said it, or I'd give them credit, but I can't say it any better. Listen, he said, it matters not if the world has heard or approves or understands. The only applause we're meant to seek is the applause of nail-scarred hands. That's the only applause that we need. I graduated from Bessemer High School in 59, was it? Played high school football at old Bessemer High School. Long before there were state playoffs, Bessemer High School in the mid-50s won 3 state championships 2 out of 3 years. Quite a tradition. I came in behind that. We didn't do quite that well. Not near that well. I hate to tell you the whole story. After I graduated from high school, my first semester in Old Howard College, my pastor called me, said, "Brother Don, would you like to come home one weekend and preach for me? If you will, we'll invite the Bessemer High School football team that you played with the last 4 years. We'll invite them," and we had the custom. We'd do that. If invited by churches, the whole squad, the whole team, coaches to everybody, we'd go off to that church. Well, they did that. I went home to preach. And there, they took one half of the congregation, the whole football team, coaching staff, bunch of cheerleaders and majorettes and a bunch of people. I was to preach. It was about my third sermon. Can you imagine how scared I was? I preached the Word of God, a freshman in college, to my home class, my home school, and my home church. Never will forget when the service was over, Pastor asked me if I'd stand out on the front and invite the people to come by and greet me after that sermon. Well, I stood there for the longest, and people came by very kindly to encourage me, and I appreciated that. They were genuine, and it really encouraged me. But I looked down at the end of that row, long row of people back through there waiting to talk to me, speak to me. I looked in the very back was my football high school head coach, Snitz Snyder, the Bear Bryant of high school football, mean as a hornet, absolutely great coach at the high school level. He was something else. We feared him. If Snitz Snyder said jump, we asked him how far. We just got after it. We were scared of him. He had green cat eyes.